السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد، صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa and those listening over the receivers, in tonight's majlis, just before the namaz, a subject or a topic which I discussed in one of the Jummah bayans came to mind. And this is always my habit, that after the sunnat namaz I make a lot of dua, that Ya Allah, whatever topic is beneficial for me and for the congregation, then put it into my mind. So this is something that I discussed in one of the Jummah bayans, and I wish to repeat in the light of what is happening around in the world. We all know that Muslim homes, Muslim property, Muslim lives, Muslim honor, Muslim dignity, everything is burning. In India, we know what is happening. Things have become very, very difficult. So many Muslim homes, properties have been burnt. We have lived in India for many years of our lives, at least about 6 or 7 years during our student days. And we know what happens there when we have these type of incidents. So as if Palestine, Afghanistan, Kashmir, Bosnia, Chechnya and other parts of the world, whatever was happening was not enough. Now we are having another disaster. So in these times, what should we be doing? Of course, we all know that we should be assisting them and helping them in whichever way possible, financially, by duas, and in other forms. That is our duty. Wherever it happens, we must sympathize and we must come to their assistance. And that, alhamdulillah, I think South Africans, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given them a very large and a generous heart. Mashallah. And wherever in the world there is any disaster, we find the South African Muslim community, in spite of their minority, but they really open up their pockets and purses and contribute. And it is because of those charities that they are giving. I've mentioned this many times, that we should not think we are doing anybody else a favor. Because of those charities that we are giving, we are being protected from such kind of disasters. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's wrath and anger is cooled when people give charities. So that we all know that we have to do. But at the same time, I want to give you that prescription which came to mind again, which was given by Hazrat Maulana Dr. Abdul Hai Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh. And this is what the mashayikh they do, that because of our weakness, they keep on thinking of how can we make deen easy, simple, practical for everybody. How can we make them all get connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? In the situation that we find ourselves, and in the conditions that we find ourselves, and in all the fitnas that we seem to be surrounded, where are we going to make all those mujahadas and all that striving that the people of the past did to get connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? We are extremely weak. We can't even make our 5-time namaz properly. And if we are making the namaz 5 times, then we know what a deficiency there is in our salat. Even our sunnats is not made properly. How many people don't even make the sunnats at all? And then always there is that rat race in which we find ourselves. So at such a time, where are we going to be making those kind of mujahadas? So then they give us prescriptions which are simple, easy, practical, and everybody can apply it. It's not difficult at all. It doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It doesn't take any expenditure. Nothing. Simple and easy, practical solutions to our problems. The doctors, when they write prescription, then they don't write a whole story there. You just get a few words there. and that's a prescription. But it has deep effect. One little tablet that they have prescribed, it has such effect on the body that the person who is taking it, somebody's heart is being affected with that tablet, somebody's lung, somebody's kidney and somebody's liver. It's having different effect on different people's, on different parts of the body. And yet outwardly it's just one little tablet and one little word that the doctor wrote in the prescription. But there is a whole story behind it. In the same way here, the prescriptions are simple and easy, but there is great effect in these prescriptions. So he said that in these times, because of our weakness and our shortcomings, we are not going to be able to make those kind of mujahadas. But he says everybody can do four simple things. And in these four simple things, we will find solution to our problems. It will take us somewhere. It will get us connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It will then make things easy for us. The four things that he mentions in the prescription, he says the first thing is shukr, second thing sabr, third thing isti'aza, and the fourth thing he says is that istighfar. Make shukr, make sabr, make istighfar, and make isti'aza. Now this is the prescription. Four little things, four simple things. But there's so much in it that whatever you find that is pleasing to you, any condition that is according to one's own whim and desire and taste, because you can only have two kinds of conditions. Either the person is having conditions of enjoyment, of pleasure, of happiness, of good health, of wealth, of property, as I discussed many times. That will be one condition. And the other condition will be of difficulties, of sickness, of pain, of poverty, etc., etc. So he says, whenever you find any condition that is creating a kind of happiness within your heart, or it gives you satisfaction, it gives you joy, it gives you pleasure, then immediately within your heart say Alhamdulillah. Now how difficult is that? Just to say Alhamdulillah. And we can extend this over so many things. The person, if we have to just take from the time that he gets up, I explained this in detail, the person just gets up. Now when he got up, he could see everything. He could see everything. Now what a great ni'mat it is that this person can now see. He can see the time on his clock. He can see the face of his wife, the faces of his children. He can see his room. He can see the road to the toilet or the passageway to the toilet. Now these things we consider as insignificant. But in each of those things, there's so much of ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now these eyes, if Allah ta'ala had only taken away the sight from there, and this person gets up and he can't see anything. And it has happened. For so many people it has happened. On Eid day, one woman with good sight, no difficulty at all in seeing anything. And suddenly she says on Eid day the sight just went. Just went darkness, complete darkness. Now can you imagine what that woman, bichari, must have been suffering after that? A person who is seeing properly, nothing, no pain, no sickness, no disease of the eye, and suddenly the person just goes blind. What happened, Allah Ta'ala only knows. But she says, my sight just went, and when? On Eid day. So now when this person gets up, when he gets up and he sees everything, then he says, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, your shukr, your ihsan, that you gave me sight, that you restored my sight. If Allah Ta'ala had taken the sight away, finish. Now he starts speaking to somebody, he tells his wife also, get up for Fajr Salat. So he's able to speak. Or he said, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, so his speech is still there. So now he makes shukr over his speech. He makes shukr over his hearing. He heard the azan, or he heard the voices of the family. Now he's making shukr over that. So every little ni'mat, he's making shukr over it. Then he got dressed up and he went to the masjid. On the way he never got hijacked. Comfortably he reached the masjid. He got the jamaat namaz on time. Now he's saying, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, your shukr, your ihsan. Otherwise I could have been one of those persons who left home and never returned home. So again he's making shukr over it. That, Ya Allah, your ihsan and your shukr that I reached the masjid safely. from the masjid, he's returning again safely. Now he's making shukr over the namaz that he was able to make, that little bit of tilawat that he was able to make. Now on all those ni'mats he's making shukr. Then he got dressed up and he was going to go to the factory or to go to the industry or to go to the school or college or university. Now there, if he had to catch the bus or he had to catch the kombi or something, he got it on time. As soon as he went there, it so happened that they just arrived, he jumped in and he arrived. Now he's making shukr. Sometimes it happens that the person is traveling and he doesn't even have a seat. Those who are traveling in buses and trains, and especially in India and other parts of the world where there is such a congestion, then if they get a seat, it is a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the person makes shukr that he got a seat. Or he's driving his own car, then he's making shukr that, Ya Allah, I managed to reach my factory or my business premises on time. Now when he reaches there, he sees his place again, he's not burgled, everything is in as it was left overnight. And when he went inside also, he found everything just as is. So he's making shukr over that. Ya Allah, my business you saved. Last night it could have been burnt, it could have been looted, it could have been destroyed, it could have been damaged. But Ya Allah, your shukr, your ihsan, that all my goods are safe, my shop is safe. Now he's making shukr, plenty of shukr, Ya Allah, your ihsan. Like this, if he has to look at it in every minute of his life, there's nothing but ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now he finds this child, little child, playing, smiling, jumping. Now he says, Ya Allah, your shukr, your ihsan. How many children are in bed? They are cabbages, or they are suffering from some syndrome, and they cannot even walk, they cannot move. There are some children who are 35 years, I've seen with my own eyes, a 35-year-old child who looks like hardly a 3-year-old or 4-year-old child. And when the parents said that this is 35-year-old child, at that time I said, Ya Allah, how much of your ihsan and fazal that our children grew up, our children got married, and they even got their children. How much of your ihsan, look at this child, 35 years old, and is looking like a 3 or 4 year old child. Of course, those parents will be greatly rewarded in this world and in the akhirat. That khidmat that they are making of that child, it is such that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala only knows what kind of ni'mats he must have got in store for them in the hereafter. That is a different issue. That we must not think that they are being punished and it's an azab of Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is raising their position in that manner or giving them some other rewards. But we must take lessons. What if our children were also like that? So now when we see that child jumping, smiling, going to the school, going to the madrasa, and telling us stories, now when we see that, we say, Ya Allah, how much of your ihsan that you gave me a child so fit, so healthy. If my child had been also like that, what would I have done? Now those parents cannot travel anywhere, they cannot go anywhere. They are tied with this child for years and years. That mother says, I haven't left the home for 22 years. So this is the thing, that we do not know how much of ni'mats Allah Ta'ala is giving to us. So now that time again we say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. When we ate food, the food went into our stomach, it got digested, and we did not fall sick. So there again we make shukr. How many people they eat and they say, our sugar went very high. Somebody eats, he says, my pressure went very high. Somebody eats, something else gets affected. The person says that he has to be rushed to the hospital. Now we eat our food and we say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, your fazal, your ihsan, you gave us such wonderful food to eat. Now you're making shukr over that ni'mat. So he says, first thing, that shukr. He says, make plenty of shukr over the ni'mats. In fact, if you have to look at the Quran Sharif, the khulasa of the Quran Sharif, you will find in Surah Fatiha. Whatever is in the whole of the Quran Sharif, the gist of that is in Surah Fatiha. If we can only understand the tafsir of Surah Fatiha. And that Surah Fatiha, the first word of Surah Fatiha is Alhamdu. And in Jannat, it is said that all other ni'mats, or all other ibadat, that we make in this world, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, and all the other ibadat, there will be no such ibadat in Jannat. But one ibadat will remain in Jannat, and that is the ibadat of shukr. That the person will keep saying, Alhamdulillah, over Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ni'mats, that shukr ibadat will remain even in Jannat. So this alhamdu that the person is saying, it is glory to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We just say all praise is due to Allah ta'ala. But we don't understand that what is the meaning of that. That all these ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, like at this moment in time, I'm speaking to you in a language that you understand. I mentioned this in the bayan too, that this language that we understand also is such a great ni'mat of Allah ta'ala. If you were speaking a language that I don't understand, and I speak a language that you don't understand, then So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ni'mat. And we appreciate this when we are in a country, foreign country, and where they are speaking French or German or they are speaking Arabic and we don't know, then at that time we appreciate even language. So Allah ta'ala's ni'mats are unlimited. Now if we are going to make plenty of shukr, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, la in shakartum la azidannakum. If you are going to make shukr, then Allah ta'ala says, I will definitely give you an increase. Allah will increase those ni'mats. But the shukr of the ni'mat is in accordance with that ni'mat. The shukr of that eye is that now, it must not be that we are saying alhamdulillah and then we go and see haram with that eyes. What kind of alhamdulillah is that? That we say alhamdulillah, ya Allah, you gave us sight, and then immediately we go and look at all the haram things. We say alhamdulillah, ya Allah, you gave us hearing, and we listen to all the music and all the filth. We say alhamdulillah, you gave us speech, and with that speech we talk all haram. Or we speak lies, or we make ghibat, or we indulge in carrying tales, making people fight and quarrel, now all those, or taking false qasams and oaths. So what kind of alhamdulillah is that? So the shukr of the tongue now is to say those things which are pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Talk nicely, cheerfully, happily with your wife, with your children, with your friends. Now all that is permissible. Talk to your clients, read the Quran Sharif, make some zikrullah. So the shukr of every ni'mat is in accordance with that ni'mat. Now when the person is going to definitely make shukr in that manner, then it is Allah Ta'ala's promise, la in shakartum la azidannakum. Noon taqid ba noon taqid saqila. There is so much of emphasis on it, those who know Arabic. Wow. There's so much of emphasis that we will definitely, most certainly, there is no doubt about it that we will give you an increase. Now if Allah Ta'ala is promising like that, if a person does not get an increase and he gets a decrease, then he must understand that somewhere he has gone wrong. Somewhere there is some problem. If all the cars are moving of a certain model and one car doesn't move, then we'll say the engine of that particular car, there's some problem. That's the engine they must have made on the strike day. So that's why it's not moving. So we'll say that that engine of that car, there is a problem. The other cars, if they all are moving at fast speed, so then there definitely must have been a strike on that day. So this is the thing, that if we are finding that the increase is not coming, then it means that we are at fault somewhere. Either the zakat was not given properly, or some sort of haram came away into the system. So there's a flushing out now. Now whatever it is, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if He promises, then definitely Allah ta'ala will give an increase. I don't want to go into details. So that is the first thing about shukr, that make plenty of shukr. In fact, as Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he says, Ya Allah, the tawfiq that you gave me of making this shukr itself requires another shukr. That means the tawfiq that you gave me of making this shukr of yours, it also requires shukr, that Ya Allah, your shukr that you gave me the tawfiq of making your shukr. Otherwise I could have been from amongst those that who made use of your ni'mats and didn't even remember you. So it is your ihsan that you gave me the tawfiq of making shukr. Now look at how they used to think of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ni'mats. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you have to try and count the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you will never be able to count it. There's so much ni'mats. The air that we breathe. Ask those people who are asthmatic. When they can't breathe, it seems that half is inside and half is outside. At that time, what difficulty they experience. Now we breathe comfortably in and out. We exhale and inhale. What a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So over all these ni'mats, if you are going to make shukr, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says is going to increase. Definitely increase. Look at the Quran Sharif. So many places, ayats of shukr have been mentioned. So in the prescription, that is the first thing. That this is something that all of us can do. How long does it take to make alhamdulillah? What expenditure? Nothing. And if we say it sincerely, deep-heartedly, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who knows what is going on even in the mind. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows even those thoughts and whisperings that are going on in the heart of a person, and even whatever we think, Allah ta'ala is well aware of. That is why we are told that make Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala our beloved, because He's such a beloved that any part of the night or day in total darkness, when if the whole world is asleep, at that time if you just think of Allah ta'ala, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is aware of your thought, that you thought of Him. Where are we giving our hearts to those beloveds who will perish one day, die and turn to dust one day? Yes, we say love your wife, love your children, love your parents, love everybody that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have asked us to love. But those who have got illicit love relationships, then they should understand that when they are thinking of those beloveds cannot even know where those beloveds are and where this person is. And here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is such a beloved that any part of the night or day you think of Him, He is aware of the thoughts that are in your mind. So make plenty of shukr. The moment we are going to say within our heart, we don't even have to say loudly. So there will be no riya and show in it too. In this ibadat of shukr, there will be no riya and show also. Because the person is saying it within his heart. Now at this moment, if I have to think in, and I have to make shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He gave me the tawfiq of sitting here and talking about His greatness. Now within my heart, if I have to say alhamdulillah, who else is going to be aware of it except my Allah? So there's no riya also in it. And the ibadat which has got no riya is the most maqbool ibadat. Wow. That ibadat which has got riya and show in it is not maqbool. And if it's not maqbool, then even if it's plentiful, it will have no effect. And this little ibadat of alhamdulillah, if the person says it with great sincerity and within his heart, after seeing the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in abundance, whatever thing happens that is pleasing to him is saying alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all the ni'mats of Allah ta'ala. So this is the first thing. The second thing is sabr, that we will find situations, occasions, conditions that will not be in accordance with our taste and our liking. In fact, sometimes in the ibadat itself, the nafs will find it difficult to get up fajr salat, to give zakat, etc. Now sabr will mean that whatever happens, he fulfills the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he suppresses his nafs and his own desires, and he accepts the will and the desire of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now that condition that comes over his heart, that pain, the difficulty in that ibadat, then he makes sabr over it. So this is something in ibadat. But then this sabr in everything else. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, once the lamp got extinguished, so he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Now when he said that, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, is this also some kind of difficulty over which you said Inna lillahi? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, any kind of difficulty that reaches a Muslim, a believer, and he says Inna lillahi over it, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him rewards. Any kind, so much so that even if one thorn has to injure the person, then there too he must say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Learn this Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That is what will take us to sabr. That anything that gives us any kind of difficulty, we say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We went outside and we saw that the tire was punctured, so we say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We'll get sawab over that. If the light got extinguished, we say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The stove is not working, when we put it on, we say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We're starting the car, it's not starting, we say Inna lillahi. So Inna lillahi was not only if somebody died and passed away. People get so scared if you have to tell them, if they mention something over which you said Inna lillahi, then they think as if you curse the person that your father or mother or wife must die. Whereas Inna lillahi is over any kind of difficulty, any kind of pain, any kind of problem. The person got stomach ache too, he said Inna lillahi, he'll get sawab. The person got a headache also, he said Inna lillahi. Any difficulty that the person faces or experiences, or like now we heard, for example, that some relative passed away, how we say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. In the same way, any kind of difficulty that comes upon us, or the family members, or the Muslim ummah, we say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, then we will get that same sawab. In other words, you are expressing this aqeedah that everything is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Our life is in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's control. The whole universe is in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's control. And any decision that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made, it is acceptable to me. And then it is the hukam of Allah ta'ala that now you must make use of the means. In that difficulty, you must make use of the means. So we are making use of the means also because it's a hukam of Allah ta'ala. But as far as the decision is concerned, then we are happy with the decision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we know that we have to return to Him. We have come from Allah Ta'ala and we are going to return to Him. So that gives a person strength. It gives him quwwat. That when the person knows that my Allah is with me, in this difficulty of mine, my Allah is with me. So that person gets strength in his weakness, in his sickness, in his poverty, in his disaster, whatever happens. Now this person will say, well, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So now he gets a kind of a strength in him that he has turned towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There is great quwwat and strength that the person gets if he has to state this on any kind of difficulty, provided he understands what he is saying. So this is the second thing. Now again, sabar, there is a whole subject, but I am not going into any details. I just want to give the prescription that anything that causes any kind of difficulty, what can I do? Again, as a Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that beautiful couplet comes to mind.
جس حال میں بھی وہ رکھتے ہیں اس حال کو اکمل دیکھا ہے جس راہ سے وہ لے جاتے ہیں اس راہ کو اسہل دیکھا ہے جس راہ کو ہم تجویز کرے اس راہ کو اسہل دیکھا ہے جس راہ کو ہم تجویز کرے اس راہ کو اسقل دیکھا ہے جس راہ سے وہ لے جاتے ہیں اس راہ کو اسحل دیکھا ہے.
Whichever route Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes me through, that is the easiest route, that is the best route. There is no other route that is better for me than the one which my Allah has chosen for me. Of course, purposely we should not make blunders and then blame taqdeer. Purposely, we should not make blunders and then say taqdeer. Taqdeer is that a person makes the correct effort, but Allah Ta'ala's decision is otherwise. The person worked hard, he prepared himself for the examinations, and he was ready to write the paper, and at that time suddenly he got high temperature, or he got malaria, or he got some fever, or some accident happened in the family. Now what happened is that his mind was disturbed, and he failed the examinations. So now that is taqdeer. But the person doesn't make any effort whole year round. He's just loafing around in the cinemas, theaters, gambling dens, and drugs, and women and wine. And then when it comes to the examination, he fails and he says, taqdeer. Then we'll say, that is not taqdeer. So whichever route Allah Ta'ala chooses, it is the best route. So sabr on whatever difficulty, not only mayyat, any kind of difficulty that a person faces, he says, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Now this is again something that he can say within his mind. He doesn't have to even announce, he doesn't have to make a loud statement. Now again, there will be no riya in that, because it's going to be within his heart. Any kind of difficulty he's facing, he says, inna lillah, inna lillah. Now, in a day, how many times that inna lillah? So he's one side making shukar, the other side is making sabar. Then isti'aza. That there are many things that cause us a kind of apprehension. There's a kind of a fear. Something may happen. Something will... This business that I've started, it could flop. This marriage that I'm undertaking, it could not work. Or this home that I'm building, probably is not the right place and right area that I've chosen this home. Now, different kinds of apprehensions and fears that the person has as far as the future is concerned. His children are growing up. He says, I don't know what's going to happen about their education now. Which school they are going to go to, what kind of friends they will end up with, and when they are going to grow up, I don't know what they are going to really do. Now, so many kinds of fears that a person has. And this is natural, that the person, when he looks at the future, then he gets a lot of fear, especially in these times, when he is seeing what the conditions are around the world. So at that time, the person says, A'udhu billah, A'udhu billah. He seeks protection in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He makes tafweez to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He asks Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to take over and relieve him of this pain and misery of worries and anxieties. The person is turning towards to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and saying, Ya Allah, I don't know the future, and I'm not going to go to anyone to see the crystal ball and tell me exactly what's going to happen to me tomorrow, because these future tellers, they don't know themselves what's going to happen to them. Where can they tell us about our future? Like in Harun Rashid's Darbar, that person claimed that he knows a lot about what's going to happen in the future. So everybody was getting very impressed with his seeing of the palm and telling the future of the person. So Harun Rashid also, the wazir was very sharp. He said, call him and ask him, or Mamun Rashid it was. So he called him. In the Darbar, he said, okay, so look at my hand and tell me how long I'm going to live. So he looked at his hand and he told him, so many years you are going to live. So whatever he told him, this person got a little bit worried. Now he said, now tell him to look at his own palm and tell you, say, how long is he going to live? If he's that expert in reading palm, so now tell him to read, how long is he going to live? So he looked at all the different lines here and he said, well, so many years I'm going to live. So this wazir, he said, now take the sword and take his neck off. So he took the sword and took his neck off. He said, what did he say? How long is he going to live? He said, a couple years. He said, but he didn't even live for a few minutes. So if he was that good, then he would have seen in the palm that after a few minutes of my reading my own palm, then my neck is going to go. Why didn't he read that in his own palm? So don't fall for all these type of things. Lots of people get carried away with the stars foretell. And horoscope. Now all these type of things, it's nothing but just lies. And it makes the person sometimes lose his faith in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Especially the people who've got a little weakness in their iman. They should not go anywhere near these type of people or these type of predictions. Because sometimes it could just happen that what has been mentioned there, it takes place. So that person's yaqeen will become very strong that definitely what he has said was the truth. Whereas it was shayateen that sometimes gives a little bit of truth just to trap this person and make him lose his iman. So this person now is making istighfar, is making istiaza all the time, asking Allah Ta'ala for protection. Oh Allah, this fear that I have of my children when they grow up, then what's going to happen and what they're going to do. Ya Allah, you protect me too and protect them too. Now the person has got fear about his business, what's going to happen. Now we can't see into the future. So now he's making istiaza, he's asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection. Any kind of fear that comes into his heart, he asks Allah Ta'ala for protection. He says, Ya Allah, protect me from the fitna, protect me from the mischief, protect me from any kind of harm coming upon me. Now he's repeatedly asking Allah Ta'ala for protection. So he made shukr, he made sabr, and he's repeatedly asking Allah Ta'ala for protection of whatever harm that he's fearing coming upon him in the future. So he's making istiaza all the time. So it shows that he is getting connected with Allah Ta'ala. That shukr is a connection with Allah Ta'ala. That sabr is a connection with Allah Ta'ala. This istiaza is showing that the person is expressing his complete helplessness. He says, Ya Allah, I am such a person that I just don't even know what's going to happen the next minute. Now look at in India, those people were running beautiful businesses. Everything was flourishing, especially in Ahmedabad. Now there are lots of Muslims there who had very, very good businesses there. And they were living in very good areas there. And within seconds, everything raised to the ground. Nothing. So therefore, this person keeps asking Allah Ta'ala for protection, protection. And then istighfar. That over shortcomings, weakness, sins, because we are human beings, the person makes plenty of istighfar, plenty of istighfar. If he commits one sin, he makes 100 istighfar. If the person is going to make istighfar plentiful and in abundance, then again it's a connection with Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has informed us that that person who makes istighfar, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person who makes lazim of istighfar, then Allah Ta'ala will make him or equate him with those who are the muttaqeen. Those same promises which are made for the muttaqeen, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. That person who has taqwa, that person who has fear in his heart, he does not go towards sins and he stays away from haram because of the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's displeasure and the fear of Allah ta'ala's azab. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah ta'ala will find a way out for him. In his difficulties, in his problems, in his life, whatever kind of hardships or anything that he is facing, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will find a way out for him. Allah will create such conditions that he will find a way out. And he will provide for him risk and sustenance from sources unknown to him. Where he would least expect, Allah Ta'ala will provide from such places for this person. Now that promise that Allah Ta'ala has made for the muttaqeen, the same promise has been made for those who, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, man lazim al istighfar. The person who makes lazim upon himself and he makes abundance of istighfar. That's what it means. Then, the same promise Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says Allah Ta'ala will fulfill even for this person. So now what more does the person want? That he committed a sin, he made a mistake, he erred, he slipped, and now he's making plenty of istighfar and he's reaching heights again and connecting, getting connected with Allah Ta'ala. But again there it does not mean that the person is persistent and goes on with those sins. Accidentally he committed a sin. Muslim, as I repeat, is a person who commits sins accidentally. Accidents can happen. A person repairs his car, panel beats it, takes it out of the showroom, again accident. He gives it back, repairs, and again it can be an accident. But that person is a mad person and a stupid person and a foolish person and is an idiot. The person who takes it out from the panel beaters and afterwards he says, just because there is a panel beater, so therefore let me go and smash it again against the wall. So then that is definitely stupidity. So the person who committed a sin accidentally, he was trapped, now he makes plenty of istighfar and tawbah, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala raises him. That one minute he was on the farsh and next minute he's on the arsh. So these are the four things. Now again, istighfar itself is a very, very wide subject. There's so much in istighfar, there's so much on shukr, so much on sabr, and so much on istiaza that we can speak. But for our purposes of this majlis here, if we, all of us who are here, and whoever is listening over the receivers, and whoever will then listen over some of those radio stations, if we can only bring this into our lives, that we make plenty of shukr over every namat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and teach it to our children too, teach it to our wives also, that make plenty of shukr, don't keep on complaining. There are many of us who have got the habit of nothing but complaints. We will have the best home, we will have the best car, we will have the best business, but one weekend or one Saturday or one month, if the business was a little quiet, then we got nothing but complaints. Anybody asks, it's very, very bad, very, very bad. But they will forget that our bank balance is gone so high that even if the business remained closed for the whole year, nothing, it will cause no effect and no harm. There are so many business people in Makkah Sharif, in London, in America, in other parts of the world, and even in South Africa, there are so many of them, that even if they have to keep the businesses closed for the whole year, or for a couple years, they can eat and eat, and even the grandchildren will eat and it will not finish. But if you have to ask them on that one Saturday that how was business, terrible, very bad, in the month of February, and finished, people have got no money. There are so much of complaints, and yet the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has given is unlimited. So learn to make plenty of shukr. Teach them, make shukr. The person who is always complaining, I got this pain, I got this weakness, and so that person will always remain like that, in that state. But if the person, whilst there is sickness, the person looks at the health part of it, that how much of ni'mats I have got. Hazrat Maulana Asghar Ali Rahmatullah Ali, very great wali of Allah Tabarak, a great ustad of Darul Ulum Deoband too he was. So once Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he went to visit him, and that Hazrat Maulana Asghar Ali Rahmatullah Ali was sick. He had very high temperature. So he went to see him. So he said, how is your health? He says, Alhamdulillah, my eyes are seeing well. Alhamdulillah, my ears are listening well. My tongue is speaking right. And my hands are moving, my feet are moving, but just that I've got a little bit of temperature. First he said all those ni'mats that he has got, but at the same time Allah Ta'ala wants to show his weakness, so he didn't show his great strength also. So he made the haqiqat also, ki mujhe bukhar bhi hai, lekin ye ni'mat bhi hai, ye ni'mat bhi hai, ye ni'mat bhi hai. Now the person who's looking at more ni'mats, then his pain also will ease. If you're going to concentrate and focus on those pains, then after that the person will forget how much of ni'mats he's already got. One buzruk got stuck at Jeddah airport for 48 hours. So somebody asked him, he said, Hazrat, bahut takleef hui hogi. He said, kya nahi, alhamdulillah, idhar Makkah Sharif qareeb tha, idhar Madina Sharif qareeb tha, aur hum aaram se wahan airport par baithe Allah ka zikr karte rahe. Makkah Madina Sharif ke dono ke darmiyan Jeddah mein baithe hue the. Now the person was sitting like that, now for him what is going to be difficult? He says, yeah, because if I had gone to my country, Pakistan, that would have been far away. Now here I was just close to Makkah Sharif here, 48, 50 miles away, and Madina Sharif 200, 300 miles away. So in dono ke darmiyan Jeddah mein hum aaram se airport par baithe hue. One buzruk, he took some water tablets that for relieving they give those tablets that the person has to go up. Number one, for a number of times, just to get the water out so it doesn't build up. So, I don't know what you call it, but in any case, so he had to take the tablets. So for a number of times at night, he had to keep going to the toilet and coming out, making wuzu again, going to the toilet. So now we would have said that, yes, whole night, I just had to go in, out, in, out. He says, Alhamdulillah, Allah ke fazal se, 10-15 dafa سنت کے مطابق بیت الخلاء میں داخل ہونے کی توفیق ہوئی, سنت کے مطابق نکلنے کی توفیق ہوئی, سنت دعائیں پڑھنے کی توفیق ہوئی. سو الحمدللہ with اللہ تعالیٰ's فضل, so many times I entered according to sunnah, I came out according to sunnah, I read the duas of sunnah, so کتنے ثواب مل گئے. Another person was going toilet 10 times and is accumulating all the ثواب. So that when you concentrate on the amount of ni'mats that we have, then it creates a different kind of feeling in the heart. So we teach them that make plenty of shukr, and over any kind of difficulty and hardship keep making sabr, and make use of the means, nobody says no, but don't complain of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala all the time. And then istiaza on any kind of fear and apprehension that the person has, and the person makes plenty of istighfar and tawbah. Simple prescription, but the person is doing something that will connect him with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now the person who is going to remember Allah so much whole day, sometimes shukar, sometimes sabar, and doesn't take time to, it's not that it will stop your business or it's going to affect your teaching or it's going to affect some kind of work that you are engaged in, nothing. In the heart you will make Alhamdulillah, that's all. In the heart you will say Inna Lillah, or in the heart you will say Astaghfirullah, or in the heart you will say Alhamdulillah, A'udzubillah. Now just four simple little words, but you can say these things thousands of times in the day. Imagine if we only Allah Ta'ala could show it to us on the screen, that how much of nekis we are accumulating by just this simple little ibadat, then all of us will race for it. But that's why Allah kept it in the ghaib, so that those who got yaqeen and faith and trust in Allah Ta'ala, they will be the ones who will make amal on it. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal, and we must make a lot of dua for our Muslim brothers and sisters and children in Palestine, in Afghanistan, in Chechnya, Bosnia and now India and other parts of the world also. Allah ta'ala only knows what we are heading for, and we know what is the reason for it. We all know the reason. In India there were earthquakes, there were so many of other riots and things that took place. But if we have to go to those villages, we will find the same thing, the Bollywood and the Hollywood movies, especially in India, the Bollywood movies. Our youngsters there, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have mercy. If you have to look at the namazas, if you have to look at the character, and if you have to look at the way of life, then we don't take lessons from what is happening. Like we also, we have heard all these things, but do we take a lesson? We don't take a lesson. We say, well, it's happening far away, we'll make some dua and we'll give some charity. But do we say that now let us make a change? Let us not wait for those conditions to befall us. And when it is the majority that indulge in sins, then the good and the bad, everybody has to suffer together. So, but we must make a lot of dua, and we must not point fingers at anybody. We must look at our own condition, but take lessons. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, اے اللہ ہماری مغفرت فرما, اے اللہ صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطاءً ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما. او مائی بلاور اللہ, او مائی رحیم اللہ, او مائی کریم اللہ, وی نو وی آر یور سنفل سروینٹس, او اللہ وی نو وی آر ایکسٹریملی ویک سروینٹس آف یورز. Oh Allah, we know how much of sins we have committed in our lives from the time we became of age up till now. Oh my beloved Allah, we know how much we have violated your ahkam in our lives. But oh Allah, we have also learned that you are merciful, you are forgiving, you are compassionate, you dearly love the forgiveness of the sins of those who make istighfar and tawbah. Ay Allah, we are making istighfar, we are seeking forgiveness of our sins. Ay Allah, give us the tawfiq of making shukr. Give us the tawfiq of making sabr. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq of making isti'aza. Give us the tawfiq of making istighfar. Oh Allah, make our lives like the lives of the awliya'i siddiqeen. Oh Allah, bless us with long life, with good health, with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction. Oh Allah, remove the difficulties and the hardships and the problems of the entire Muslim ummah, especially in Palestine. Oh my beloved Allah, in Palestine, in Afghanistan, in Chechnya, in Bosnia, and now in India, and in other parts of the world, oh Allah, whatever difficulties and hardships they are facing, remove them with your fazl, with your ihsan, with your mercy, with your kindness. Oh my beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq of taking lessons from whatever is happening in the world. But oh my beloved Allah, protect and safeguard the properties of the Muslim Ummah. Oh Allah, protect their dignity, protect their wives and children, protect their wealth, protect their properties, protect their honor. Oh Allah, give them once again the honor that you gave to the Muslim Ummah of the past. Ay Allah, when our time of death comes, give us shahadat in Madinah Tayyibah. Ay Allah, musalmanon ki tijaraton mein barkat ata farma, maal mein barkat ata farma, gharon mein barkat ata farma, jaan mein, izzat mein, aabroon mein barkat ata farma. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul halim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina wa maulana Muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.